Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Church bells will toll tonight to remember those murdered in the Manchester Arena terror attack on the fourth anniversary of the bombing. The Manchester Cathedral will be open for private prayer and the lighting of candles. Prayer services will also be live streamed on the cathedral's Facebook page. Animal rights protesters are blockading four UK distribution centres for McDonald's, which they say will impact roughly 1,300 restaurants. Animal Rebellion say they are using trucks and bamboo structures at the distribution sites in Hemel Hempstead, Basingstoke, Coventry and Heywood in Greater Manchester to stop lorries from leaving depots. Finally for now, US President Joe Biden is to host George Floyd's family at the White House on Tuesday to mark the first anniversary of his death at the hands of a white Minneapolis police officer. White House Press Secretary Janet Psaki said the president would mark the anniversary of Mr. Floyd's death, but offered no further details on the plans. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Derek Clark.
Colourful, coming up next, Julius on Colourful Radio.
Hi, I'm Asha. I had doubts because there was a rumour that the vaccination contains pig fat, which is not allowed in my religion, so I was worried a bit. I listened to some of the imams and they said that there was nothing on it. And them themselves, they had the vaccination. I said, yeah, if they did, I'm sure there's nothing wrong with the vaccination. I got the vaccine. Why don't you? Such vaccine facts.
Were you persuaded to buy solar panels with assurances they would pay for themselves or even make you money? If those promises haven't come true and you bought your panels in the past 6 years with a loan from Barclays, Shawbrook, Creation or Ecano, then you may be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. At Solar Claims UK, many of our clients receive their settlement within 4 weeks. So text SOLAR to 60777. Text SOLAR to 60777 now. You don't need a claims management company to make a claim, and if unsuccessful, you can refer it free to the Financial Ombudsman.
The COVID vaccines reduce the risk of the virus being passed on. If you do get coronavirus, vaccines mean you are very unlikely to get seriously ill, need hospital treatment, or die from it. Having the vaccine is the best way we can protect ourselves, our loved ones, and our community. If you have questions about the COVID vaccine, search Vaccine Facts for information you can trust from NHS South East London.
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, and you're listening to Colorful Radio on colorful.com for our global listeners. But here in the UK, we're on DAB Radio. And it's a fantastic Saturday morning again. We are happy to connect. Today in the studio, we are so privileged to be with the winner of Miss All Africa Colors, which is part of Miss England. So technically, she's also a Miss England winner here in the UK. And her name is Rehema Muthamia. Yes. As we always say, Hello. She's got a great connection from Africa, and where else? The land of Obama, the land where the queen became queen. And this is nowhere else than Kenya. Welcome to the show, my sister.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so privileged to be on this platform with you.
It's so much great to have you. And yeah, congrats to your achievement. It never happens. And whenever it happens, a lot of people from Africa, they are like, oh, we feel the sunshine come to UK again.
I think we need some sunshine. We don't get enough.
This is a great moment for all of us. Yeah. So yes, so to kick us off, because of course, today's show, we are talking about what you do and what you have achieved. I just want to give you this moment to just say hello to our listeners. And of course, now introduce yourself briefly, and then we'll carry on. We shall carry on from there.
Yeah, sure. So hello to everyone listening. My name is Rahema Mathamia. I'm 25 years old. I was born and raised in London, England, but I am of Kenyan heritage. So very, very proud to be both Kenyan and British. The reason actually I'm on the show today is to talk about the fact that I won a recent heat that was brought into the Miss England competition called Miss All African Colors. So, and I'm a pharmacovigilance specialist. So that's a bit about me.
Yes, brilliant. I quite like the way you introduce yourself. You're so brief, so humble to the point. But are you aware we are talking about Great Britain? And therefore, just to be a winner for this particular platform, on this particular platform, for many of us, it's not such as like a normal feat of every other day. No,
right.
It's not. We refuse that. So we are kind of proud of you, and also definitely, yeah, proud of your achievement. And for those who don't know, what happened is that just after the Black Lives Matter protest in England, the founder of the Miss England incorporated this different other segment known as Miss All Africa Colors.
Yes.
And when she did that, it was the idea that in this particular beauty pageant of UK, known as Miss England, it meant this platform belongs to everybody. All are welcome. And therefore, the addition of this particular aspect. And so, therefore, the winner of Miss All Africa Colors is technically, she is also a winner in Miss England. Tell us a bit more about that, just to make sure I'm speaking the same language as you are.
everything is correct. So yes, the director, the amazing Angie Beasley, who runs the Miss England competition, as you'd mentioned, after the Black Lives Movement matter back in May, June last year, following from, you know, the horrible killing of George Floyd, really started a movement within the UK of not only Black people, but I think minority ethnic groups, just to say that, you know, we are in this country, we as much as the rest of you are British, and we are proud and we should be heard and seen. So Angie started the Miss All African Colors competition with my sponsor, Yvette Filbert, and together with her and Comsfemi began this pageant. So just the entire of this heat essentially was just to really represent women of color within the UK. So it wasn't just women from Africa, it was women from the Caribbean, from Asia, just to show that within pageants, more diversity needs to be had. Representation should be there. Minority ethnic voices should be heard. And so I applied, went through a long process that was incredible with eight other women. We had an amazing journey. And then in February of this year, I was crowned virtually the first ever Miss All African Colors. And what that essentially means is that I'm now in the Miss England final, and just hoping to see where that goes. Hopefully I'll win. We'll see what will happen.
You have to.
I have no choice.
You have no choice.
I'll try.
Except to win.
Exactly.
No, we are so proud of you. And also we are very proud of the initiative, because one of the things that is a journalist covering George Floyd case and a protest from the US here in the UK to the rest of the world, it was like a turning point. And therefore, I quite marvel, I quite love to see people who are paying attention to the change and they did something, you know. Of course, in the US, we saw many different companies endorsing these issues about Black Lives Matter. They came up with the initiative, different private corporates, to show how they are in support of that kind of particular narrative. So therefore, here in the UK, we are very proud of even the founder of this Miss England, also just doing something about it to ensure diversity was seen in Miss England. So it's not just a, you know, recipe for like one group of people. So it's fantastic initiative. We quite like that. And also we also are very proud of you. So we just want to see you going to the very last mini to see you crowned the winner. So although we are like, how come then? We thought that's it, now it's done. What's gonna happen? Is it, what how will the next level of competition look like? Although you are now in the final.
Yes, so I'm in the Miss England final. So sort of the next stage is on the 22nd of May of this month, we will have a official crowning, only because of restrictions and lockdowns, everything was virtual. My grandmother had to crown me in our living room, made it in the press. It was a big, big thing. The next stage is the final itself, which is on June 24th. So there's about 6 weeks left to go. And what I'm doing to prepare is just, you know, what you do in pageants is getting ready to catwalk, present yourself, but also a lot of charity work. So what I've been doing in the past few months and for the next few weeks is raising money for the Miss World Beauty with a Purpose charity. And that is a charity that works globally to help various different projects within each individual nation on what they necessarily need help with. So that may be providing a well or shelter to countries within Africa. They have some projects in Kenya, which I'm very hopeful that I'll go and help and work with. Projects all over Europe, South America. There's not long to go. A lot of preparation, training for the sports day. It's really quite vigorous, actually. And this is my first time in a beauty pageant. So I'm just trying to get acclimatized to everything, understand the process, but I'm having so much fun. And just looking forward to the final itself.
Well, that's great. So who will you be competing with then? Other finalists, which categories are they coming from?
Yeah, so there are, I think there's going to be about 40 of us all together in the final. So there's women that have titles such as Miss Cheshire, Miss Birmingham, Miss London, Miss Manchester, regular finalists. So there's plenty of different girls, all beautiful, all working on various charities, wanting to make a difference. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to meet. But through social media, I've managed to like build connections and relationships with these incredible women. And yeah, I think we're all looking forward to the final day when we get to meet, have a great night, and just celebrate women making a change within the pageant world and just within society.
So that's brilliant. That's brilliant. We can't wait. And as we definitely, now that you're in the finalist, we definitely wish you every bit of luck. We want to see you being the winner in the end, because that would be a big statement, not just for Kenya, but also Africa and diaspora.
Yes.
No pressure. We don't want you to be overwhelmed. We want you to win in such a subtle manner, and it just comes to pass. Yes. Wow, you're listening to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluta. In the studio today, I am with great lady Rehema Muthamia. Of course, now one of the finalists for Miss England and the category Miss All Africa Colors, which she has already won. So therefore, keep listening. We are going for a very quick break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Colorful, 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 colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew,
an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Welcome back. Listening to Africa in Focus. Now, Rehema, let's now go back. Let's pick up this journey. You talk about you were born in UK and also lived in Kenya. Could you just tell us a bit more about that?
I was born in South London, in Surrey, in 1996, to my beautiful and amazing mother. I was raised by a single teenage mother who is my absolute rock, my world, my inspiration. But I went to live in Kenya for about, I think it was 2 years, when I was 2 years old, and then went back again at seven to go to boarding school. So that was a shock, but it really allowed me to get acclimatized to, honing in on my Kenyan heritage, on the culture. I learned Swahili. I still speak Swahili, made amazing friends, got to be with family. So in my heart, born and raised in London, but Kenya is my home at heart. And hopefully very soon I'll be able to go back. But yeah, that's a bit about me. And I think you're asking about me as a child. My younger days, I was a very interesting young child, very extroverted, loved theatrical arts. I was in a lot of stages. So I went to like drama school, had singing lessons, music lessons. So I was a very theatrical kid. And I think what that did is gave me the confidence to, I guess maybe now, be in the position that I'm at, sort of set the foundation for me to be on a platform, be on a stage, be comfortable speaking with others. And yeah, that's a bit about me in my younger days.
Oh, pretty much amazing. You remind me of when I was young. I was so talkative that friends of mine, one of them was suggesting to everybody, if you want to kill Julius, right, just lock him up in a room. If he doesn't speak to somebody, within 10 minutes, he'll be gone.
I think I was very much the same.
And
very much.
It's just, that's who I am. I like to speak. I like to talk to people. That's why I ended up in media, from acting, screenwriting to journalism and all that. It's just been a fantastic journey. But I love to speak. I believe when people speak, it just brings a bit of value into life, So it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's good to like catch up with you when you were young. So probably then, how did you, you studied in Kenya? You said you talk about boarding school in Kenya.
I did. I was in boarding school for 4 years, I think it was. Very young, only from seven till just the end of primary school. I went to St. Andrew's Turi, which is a British boarding school in Turi, in Molo. And that was an amazing, amazing experience. Then I came back to the UK, started secondary school, here all the way up until university, and then began my university studies in Brighton, where I did a sort of higher national certificate in biomedical science, and then transitioned into a integrated master's in genetics, which I actually only finished about 6 months ago in the middle of the pandemic. So yeah, that's a bit of my academic background, and I'm so passionate about the sciences and women in STEM. And I really hope that by using the platform that I have in the Miss England competition, I can maybe encourage other young women of color to enter the sciences, because we're not as represented as we should be. And we should use our voices to be heard and impact the field in a positive way.
I quite like that. It's very good for listeners to like hear from you. If they were to hear from me, it wouldn't help, because Last time I got disoriented from sciences, it was my physics teacher. And I remember we were learning about, you know, waves subject, about waves. And you just divining waves, you begin to say waves are things that go like this and like that and like that. And I'm like, are you serious? How do I even begin to academically illustrate that? They kind of put me off in a way. when it was time for chemistry, you know, we were talking, studying about, ammonia, ammonia. And way he begins the conversation, he begins by swearing, I swear to God, you know, ammonia is very reactive.
Chemistry teachers are always very interesting.
And then I'm like, how far do we go? Because if I begin this journey at some point, I have to swear to illustrate how serious this is.
Oh, no. So did that put you off chemistry altogether?
So in the end, I thought, I'm going to focus on things that, you know, to me, they are like, you know, I like quite a lot. And arts, that's what I settled for. You know what? Mm-hmm. Since then, I speak with a lot of colleagues and friends. Some of them are pretty good in maths. Others are pretty good, like in your case, sciences. And some of them were like, we don't know how you do it in arts. We find it so hard because we love what we do.
Yeah, I think that there's quite a separation between people that are quite sort of into the sciences or the maths and then creatives. I think, I don't know if I read a study somewhere about using different parts of our brains. Some people are more left-brained, right-brained. So honestly, like, I really give credit to people that are into arts and media because I'm not that way inclined. I enjoy seeing creative things.
Yeah, I know. That's a funny thing about life, because people who are brilliant in maths, they were like, some of us, you know, like, how come you can't understand? It's so easy. I love it. And I'm like, oh, it's not my cup of tea, man. But they're like, you can't understand why you cannot understand. Then, you know, it took me a long journey when I grew up and started working. And in the medium, there I am. And I get people who are into math, sciences, to just write, do a quick write-up about something. And they're like, we don't have the language, you know. And when it comes to me personally, I believe, please don't mix letters and numbers when it comes to maths. It makes sense when you say...
I agree.
It makes sense when you say to me 1 + 1 = 4, but don't tell me find X if Y is equals 5.
Yeah, algebra. I remember when I did A-level maths and I did statistics and I just thought, what is happening? I'm seeing more letters than I'm seeing numbers. How is this mathematics?
So that's where although in the end, in my future life, I was caught up by this maths. I couldn't let it go because I was doing a postgraduate diploma in management studies. And one of the things, the less units I had to pass, number one was financial management, which was purely mathematical stuff like budgets, statistics and everything. It's okay. Then there was financial accounting, and I'm like, I never in my wildest dream thought I will ever do anything accounting. So I was like, can this faculty just take math accounting away? And I'm like, no, we can't take it away. You have to pass it, because how do you claim to be a manager when you don't know financial accounting? And I'm like, I had to put more effort. I passed, thank God. I also passed financial management with all these statistics and all these letters and numbers. I passed, which was okay. But under duress.
That's when the adrenaline kicks in.
If it was my choice, I would be, let's talk about something else. I can be a good manager. I don't have to do maths. I don't have to do accounting. In our company, we're going to have an accountant, okay?
But at least now you can say that you did it.
No, I appreciate it all the way. So everybody who does sciences, maths, I have always had full respect for them. And I mean, congrats to what you have achieved, your master's in, is it in...
Genetics.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, that's pretty much a huge achievement, University of Sussex. So we congratulate you for that. One thing I have to point out at this particular level, we are talking, a lot of people think about beauty pension and everything, and they think, no, it's all about beauty. No, it's not. You have to be beautiful inside out.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what I should think?
Yes. No, I think there is quite a bit of a misconception when it comes to beauty pageants. I think a lot of people see it as very anti-feminist. You know, I would consider myself a feminist. I believe in the equality of women and men. And I think traditional beauty pageants were a lot about, just how you look externally, whether you have the most amazing hair or the best shaped body, whether you can walk in a swimsuit and look good. But I think over the years, it has evolved. And it's less about the physical appearance of a woman and more, like you said, about who she is internally. So, of course, they're looking for people that look good, but also have a purpose, have a mission, are charitable, a humanitarian, someone that is talented, multifaceted. And really, it's quite empowering, to be honest, I think, using a platform to help others, to be philanthropic, compassionate towards other people. It's a lot more well-rounded now than I think it was when pageants such as Miss World and Miss Universe started back in the 1950s. So I think there has been a lot of progress. As with anything to do with women's rights, a lot more can be done. But for now, I think it's a great place to build confidence and to empower young women.
No, that's brilliant. I guess, if you're going to bear the responsibility to connect and lead people or like in that kind of a leadership position in a way, you should have that element of understanding everyone. And also you should have some qualification of some sort to support that. Beauty alone is not enough. You have to understand how the world works. And of course, inspiration comes in many different ways. If it's just about beauty, then you're like, no one can control that. It's how you are born. No one can control that. But we live in a world that we have to control our, we have to do something in line with our destiny to make a difference. And therefore, when you talk about, I think it's very important for many to understand beauty should come also with other values away from, you know, how people look like. How people look like also, I don't know what you think, but you tell me, it's been pretty much subjective in a way that if you go to Africa, right, most of the time, for men, having a big tummy or whatever for men, it was a sign of riches. People thought, yeah, you're doing well.
Yeah.
when you come to in Africa as well, ladies who are big in stature, you know, they're like, you're doing well. Yeah. But when you talk about the definition of beauty from the Western perspective, you're like, you need to conform to some standards. You look a bit thinner than your African counterpart. And when it comes to men as well, because you have to be inclusive. You need to go to gym, you know, having this big tummy or whatever is not a sign of wealth. It's a sign of bad health. And you have to go to the gym. As men are facing those challenges from the Western perspective, I know I've seen a lot of actually women trying to conform to being a thin in stature, you know, not so big, to the level that it's caused problems like leukemia, the sickness that you have to have a problem with eating and
anorexia.
And that's the one I'm talking about. So in your, like right now, how is the industry like? Is it still the same way or is it different or is it paying attention to different cultural dynamics and narratives? like I've just illustrated with the African narrative when it comes to beauty.
Yeah, I think as you'd mentioned, they are across the world, there are so many different standards of beauty. The ideal beauty in Africa would be different to South America, would be different to Asia and to Europe. And I think, unfortunately, for men, but majority women alike, is that there is so much pressure to look a particular way. And unfortunately, social media, press bombards us with images that are so unrealistic. A lot of celebrities are, you know, perfected with airbrush, have makeup artists, nutritionists, dietitians, everything that they can be given. And so the regular woman or man that doesn't have access to these sorts of luxuries looks at the images that we see and starts to internalize a lot of self-hate, self-deprecation, and self-esteem issues, especially in terms of body image. And I think that has to change. I think there has been a bit of change in terms of the, I would say, sort of the beauty industry, pageants, modeling. There is more inclusivity in terms of having more people of minority ethnic groups. And I'm speaking in the West because, you know, of course, in Africa, Asia, South America, minority is the majority. But I think we still have a long way to go in terms of having changing the beauty standards, having people that are more representative of the general population, because the general population isn't a size 6 or a size 8 and is curvy in the way that we'd have, say, Kim Kardashian or, I don't know, a male figure, you know, Idris Elba. A long way, we still have a long way to go, but I think the change that is happening now, we should really acknowledge it. We should praise the change, but also understand that we still need to take the time to make sure that we are aware of what more needs to be done.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
The funny thing with life is that a lot of people try to go to all lengths to conform to these standards. And in the end, they don't, it never works for them. And therefore, what you're talking about, it results to many other things like self-hate and low esteem and all that, which is, it shouldn't be the case. Just be who you are. I guess that should be the bottom line, you know. And there are things we can do something about, others we can't do anything about it. So probably then people can wear makeup, but actually how you were created, you can't change that. So you can't recreate yourself. And therefore, it's pretty much a challenge to that. So, no, it's good to get to know about what's happening. So don't worry about intros, Alba, whatever. And for probably men, and I see a lot of people like men, I'm going to the gym to get a six-pack. And I'm like, I'm okay with no pack. As long as I'm happy, I can go to gym to get healthy, because it's pretty much good to exercise. But when you begin to attach that to conform to particular standard, it can begin to stress you up, Yes, and it's not a joke. How gym work also is very different. I remember the first time I went to the gym, this guy says to me, "Can you lift 75 kilograms weight?" And so that's a cup of tea. I'm pretty strong. I lifted so quick. And then he puts me on a machine and he says to me, "Can you lift 5 kg? I'm like, "What are you talking about? I just lifted 75 kg. And then he says to me, "I know you lifted that, but can you lift 5 kg 20 times?
That's a difference.
So I start slowly, like, I can do this, a cup of tea. So I went like when I was counting up to 10, my hands were like paining on the muscle area.
Oh, no.
Before I started to say 11, I'm like almost being defeated. By the time it was 15, I was like, this is too much now. I have pain everywhere. I don't want it. And by the time I say 18, I stopped. And he says to me, why have you stopped? And then I say to him, the machine has broken.
Blame the machine. Definitely not
blame. The machine has broken.
Nothing to do with me at all.
So you see, we have these guys who go to the gym because they want to have these six packs. They want to look to some character they've seen on telly. I'm like, hey, you don't know why they do it. You are an accountant. This guy, he wants to be working in the, maybe the bodybuilder sector. You are not the same. Your dreams are separate. Why do you so want to kill yourself? For him, he can work out day and night to achieve those six packs. But for you, is it really necessary?
True.
You work as an accountant. Is it necessary? So... I don't know. I mean, that's from a man's perspective, but I see ladies going to the extreme length, to the point of even changing entire color of a person. I mean, have you ever come across situations like those?
I have. I mean, it's quite sad to even talk about the fact, you know, in African or black hair shops, you can go and buy particular products for your hair. And right next to the hair products, you'll see a lightening cream or a bleaching cream, which to me, it genuinely makes me so upset and so sad that people have been conditioned by society. Well, black or Asians, people of a more melanated skin tone, to think that their color is not beautiful. And, you know, for me, I believe we are created by God. We're beautiful in God's eyes. I am so proud in and of myself to be a Black African woman, to think that other people feel either such pressure or such shame in their own color honestly makes me so, so, so sad. And I hope that maybe, you know, there will be a change, I guess, also in terms of within going back to this competition and, you know, having women such as myself and other minority ethnic women on a platform celebrating our beauty and our blackness, maybe that can be something for a young black girl to see, you know what, there's nothing wrong with the way that I look. My color is beautiful. I should accept myself because I am me. And even if I change myself, you know, what will change other than just lightening your skin? And I think it goes to a deeper issue that needs to be tackled in terms of, I guess I'll dare say, colorism and self-love and acceptance of who you are.
So true, so true. That's why every morning, sometime, I go in front of my mirror and I look at my image and I say to myself, you are a great guy, don't worry. We have to accept ourselves, you know, we have to be comfortable. Definitely. We have to appreciate who we are, because I found out in life that if you don't appreciate yourself, it will be difficult for others to appreciate you. That's what I found out in life. And I always look into all these guys who sport a lemon face every morning, and you'd listen to me. In the morning, I choose what kind of a drink I like. I kind of like orange juice. Now, if you show me your lemon face, I'm like, I'm not going to pay attention. I like my orange juice.
Very different types of fruits.
So, others like different types of fruits. Others like apple juice. So we have to really teach ourselves that it's important to appreciate ourselves, The moment you are comfortable, you appreciate who you are, then other people who walk around you, they're like, oh, this is the kind of person this one is. We have to understand them. Mm-hmm. We have to accept who they really are. Because at the end of the day, even ourselves, in life's journeys, we always find people, we try to understand them. We are making effort to understand them so that we can understand what kind of people they are, so that we can also appreciate who they are. So it's a two-way traffic. You know, you are not going to really hate yourself and then expect others to love you. It's funny. It doesn't work. Those who hate themselves, they emit that, you know, that vibe of hate and bounces on other people, and they cannot be loved in their condition. So all of us, we need to just, like you're saying, we need to accept who we are. We need to appreciate who we are. We don't need any recipes added onto our personalities. We're good enough.
Exactly.
I think we are good enough. No, it's great. It's good. It's great to share with you this because, of course, it's helping somebody somewhere, or our listeners, wherever they are. It's helping somebody somewhere. And listeners, you're listening to Africa in Focus, and I'm your host, Julius Baluto. In the studio, I am with Rehema Mutamya, the winner of Miss England, but under the category Miss All Africa, what do we call it again? Miss All Africa
Miss
Colors.
All Africa. Yes.
African Colors, yes, exactly. So, yes, don't go away. We are going for a quick break. We'll be back.
This is Color Radio.
Colorful Radio.
Welcome back. Yeah, so then, Rehema, we got all these journeys, but we just wanted to capture something we didn't in the beginning. Like just to be nominated, just to participate in what you went through. How were the preparation? Did you make application? And do you have to prepare for the competition in the initial stages? How does it begin from the level of the beginning? Yeah. And what kind of preparation do you have to go through or do?
Mm-hmm. So initially, I'm not even quite sure. You know, I had an understanding. I know of Miss World and Miss Universe, incredible competitions that I'd followed here and there over the past few years. And one day, something just sort of drove me to go into the Miss England website. And there on the homepage, I saw something about a new category called Miss All African Colors. And there was a description by Angie just talking about the fact that she did want to increase, make the competition more diverse, and to have a specific heat for women of color so that they can be represented and celebrated within the competition. And I thought, okay, why not? It's not going to harm me just to fill in an application, send a picture, and I just left it. And I didn't think anything of it until, must have been a few weeks later, I got a call from the sort of the owner, one of the owners of Miss All African Colors, Yvette Filbert. And just introducing me and saying that, you know, she had selected me among other women to take part in this first ever heat. And we were going to have an introductory meeting, find out more about this heat and get the ball rolling. So joined in. And honestly, it was quite a rigorous process, especially seeing as I hadn't been in any pageant before. Didn't know necessarily how it worked, but there were photo shoots, catwalk sessions with a well-renowned catwalk trainer. We had presentation sessions just to learn how to speak and to project our voices and to really capture an audience when we speak. And then a lot of charity work. So a lot of the work that Miss World, which is the large competition that stems off of Miss England, focuses on is the beauty with a purpose. So women that want to make a difference within their community and to give back to those that are less fortunate than themselves. And so during that competition, aside from the catwalking and the presentation, I started to raise funds for the Federation Women's Aid, which is a charity here in the UK. So they have sort of with regional work that they do. They are based also in Scotland, Wales, and England itself. And just to raise money and awareness on domestic abuse and their children that are affected by that. So, yeah, that was sort of the process in terms of them is All African Colours Heat and getting to know the amazing other girls that I was competing with. Just going through a new journey. It was such a great experience. Took me outside of my comfort zone. Allowed me to do work that I'd wanted to be doing, but didn't necessarily have the platform to do so. And that led up to the Miss All African Colours final back in February. And yeah, that stemmed onto the Miss England competition now.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant kind of journey. It just goes to show us that, especially a lot of young people listening, never shy away from just sending that application, because sometimes people shy away. They're like, will it work? Will it not work? Should I even bother? So never shy away from sending that application. That's what we are getting from you, from this. And also the other thing is the preparation bit. You've been given a chance and you just prepare as normal. So it just again goes to show that pursue opportunity, pursue dreams, and it will cost you nothing to make that application. There's no loss, only gains. If it goes through, think of if it goes through rather than will it go through or not go through. Just think about what if it goes through, because a lot of our people are caught up in that. We don't trust systems. Whatever I apply, I get regret letters. But now just go for it, because in your case, what you're telling us, you didn't know anyone there. You just made a simple, straightforward application. So it's fantastic to know in this day and age, things still work if you go for them. fantastic. So therefore, let's go back to, yes, you have gone through the competition, but I just wanted to have a different feel about your achievement. I mean, you have so many talents. You know, I've seen you like dancing salsa. I've seen you also, you say you travel to many other countries. Could you just take us through those journeys? Because it's fantastic as well to know. It's good to have more than one talent.
Yeah. Thank you. You're too kind. yeah, if you say I have many talents, then I will take the compliment. But so in terms of salsa competition, as I mentioned before, I grew up doing musical theatre, going to stage schools. So a lot of singing, a lot of dancing, drama. And I've always had a passion. I don't know, it must have stemmed from my mum, just a love for Latin American culture. And thankfully, I had the opportunity when I went to university to take part in many different societies. But one of the societies that I really sort of was drawn to was the Cuban Salsa Society. And so I think it's about 4 years now that I've been dancing Cuban salsa and bachata. And I am in love. You know, being in this pandemic has been very difficult, because obviously you can't dance with your dance partners and be social. But that salsa has enabled me to, when I lived in Sweden for 1 year, I did a year abroad there back in 2017 to 2018, to meet people in Sweden that had a passion for dancing salsa and bachata, and took trips to Spain, took part in competitions, social events. So dancing is a huge part of my life. And once restrictions have eased even further, I hope to be dancing very frequently in and around London. And yeah, in terms of traveling, I don't know if you'd call traveling a hobby, but I think I was bitten by the travel bug from a very young age. I'm someone that can't stay in one place for too long. I just get the itch and I'm just like, I need to leave. I need to book a flight. let me get out of the country, you know, even if it's a quick weekend away in Spain or Portugal, or, you know, go see my friend in Paris. I love to travel. I've been to, I think, about 20 countries now, definitely trying to still add on the list. But what I love about traveling is just the fact that you can immerse yourself in a new culture, a new experience, meet new people from cultures that maybe I wouldn't have come across, get to know them, learn the food. I love to learn languages. So I think all around, I'm just someone that just wants to be immersed in anything and everything. You know, I always say you try everything once, and life is for living. So just to enjoy it. And yeah, so that's about me and my travel and dance adventures.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Oh no, I quite like that. I mean, it's traveling is good. For me, I travel for work as a journalist, different countries, and I quite find it very fascinating. You only when you travel, you begin to see the similarities, you know. So therefore, probably, what would you say, someone who is aspiring to do what you have done or live their dream, even in a different way, what would you be your like words of advice to these people who are trying to make it happen?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is just put yourself out there. As you mentioned before, you know, had I not made the application, I wouldn't be at the stage now going into the Miss England final in 6 weeks. If you have a dream, try and live it, you know, live life seeking what it is that you want, reach for it, because if you don't try, then how do you ever expect for it to become a reality? You know, you can sit here and say, I'd love to be a doctor, I'd love to be an engineer, I'd love to be an artist. But if you don't implement the actions to get to that stage and have the confidence or the ability to take risks and try something outside of your comfort zone, how will that ever happen? So my words of advice would just be, in the words of Nike, just do it.
I quite like that. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
No procrastination.
Nope.
Don't say you do it tomorrow because you're tired today. Just do it. Just
exactly.
Do it. Exactly.
Actually, in the words of my late grandfather, who I never met, but my grandmother tells me about, you know, he had a saying that said, you know, don't leave for tomorrow what you can do today. So if there's something that you're pushing off for tomorrow, it will always be pushed off. And how do you ever learn to, you know, achieve if it's forever in the future? So just get it done today and it will change and have a better tomorrow.
So what does this winning mean? If you go through this, the next phase of this competition, you munch the total absolute winner from Miss England, now in totality, Great Britain, mm-hmm. We're talking about. What would be the next level? And that's what you want to happen, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'll pray about it. The next level would be to go represent England in the Miss World competition in, I think it's the 16th. Well, I'll need to get that correct. But yeah, the winner would go to Puerto Rico to represent England in the Miss World competition. And I mean, this is nothing really I had ever, you know, if you'd asked me a year ago, if I thought this is where I'd be, or if this would even be a possibility, I probably would have laughed. Like, oh, I didn't think this would be a thing. But it would mean so much to me to represent the nation that I love so much, that I've grown up, you know, given me a sense of value and made me who I am. And to go represent England in this prestigious competition in Puerto Rico, and to not only that, but also continue with my charity work for Beauty with a Purpose and Women's Aid would just be absolutely incredible.
Brilliant, brilliant. You know what? That's where we want you to be. And you know, also, don't really be afraid. The Queen of England became queen when she was in Kenya. England, yeah. We just had the coronation. So your connection, Kenya connection is really, it delivers. This Kenya is also the home for Obama, but we are not saying it. You know, we are not bragging, but
just a small humble brag.
You're just saying that. It's a land of opportunities, a land of greatness. Yeah. So you know what? We wish you all the best, and we want to see you win. It's been lovely hosting you. We've learned a lot. We've really learned a lot. We have learned a lot. It's been really fantastic to host you. So to our listeners, we are going to